We're in Luke 12, verse 10, and we've been studying, or verse 11, I mean. We've been studying thought. There's one more scripture I want to read before we leave, take no thought. Go to Mark 13. Start in verse 9. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my name's sake, or for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be preached among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do ye meditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not you that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now again, the Holy Ghost isn't in competition with your mind. He lets your mind continue until you empty. And if it's in the places where they're delivering you up for a possible death sentence, that you say nothing, that you think nothing, let's consider what it must be for the rest of the time. Take no thought. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's go back to Luke. Well, just finishing verse 12. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. It's didasco, but it's the same kind of implication as it is in the other place. It's that he will reveal at that hour what you should say. All right. And the word in verse 12, it said, what you ought to say. Ought is that word that means that which lies in the nature of a thing. In other words, it's not that it's a command that you do this, but in the nature of the Holy Ghost, that's what it lies in the nature of him to do this, not something that you as a man ought to do. All right? What he shall say. All right, let's go to verse 13. Anybody have any thoughts? Any thoughts about no thoughts? All right.
Once again, the thing that I have difficulty with in listening to you is that you speak in such absolutes. I understand. And I agree with taking no thought. But you can also look in the concordance and you can find many, many, many scriptures that use just the word think, much less anything that implies that. Now, I understand and I agree with, the verses that contradict each other would throw me into a tizzy, and you could say, no, they don't, but to me, they do. But I'm beginning to see that they're applicable to circumstances and instances. And I know that gets touchy because it's got to be the same all the time. But when you say to me, don't think, I understand that my humanness, my flesh will take advantage of that and run with it. But I also think it's important and absolutely necessary to examine yourself, which to my way of thinking is a thought process. I think it's important to understand the notions of responsibility and accountability, and that's a thought process. So I understand how we can run with that, but when you say to me always, or never, that I can't handle that.
Again, it's a it's not an ought or should. It's a location of sphere.
What does that mean, location of sphere? That means to me, let me tell you what I think it means. And maybe that's why I'm missing something here. Location of sphere means to me like it's relevant for the moment. It's relevant for what's happening right now, for the circumstances. It's relevant to me in this time, in this frame, in this instance. No, it's not what it means. I'm telling you.
In Christ is location of sphere. Out of Christ is location of sphere. In other words, you can't be in Him and He in you and it, him, His life be active unless you've seen your death.
Okay.
Now, if you are, that's why it says, examine yourself. You're examining yourself, proving that you're in the faith. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you? It's the certification that He is your life.
But I think there's a huge difference between examining myself and saying to myself, I'm going to, what, do this so that I can be in Christ?
No.
Or Christ can be in me?
The only thing you do ever is repent.
It's not me choosing Him, it's Him choosing me.
But after you have reached a point of poverty.
Totally agree with that. I absolutely do. It's not a point of contention. I have no difficulty with that. Until you say to yourself, or whatever form of repentance is pertinent to the individual, I'm done. I quit. I don't do this anymore. It's over. That's wrong. It doesn't get me any place. It's Ecclesiastes. It's smart. I understand.
Okay. But you understand that this beast that has been your life, his name is the evil one, the son of perdition, is constantly trying to resurrect himself from the dead?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. So it takes an examination on my part to make sure that I'm not, or the people in my community, the people who love me, to say to me, don't go down that road. I understand that.
But the road is not a road. It could be just one step.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
One blade rest at a time.
Right, it can be one little minuscule step of returning to self resurrects the whole bit, the whole thing. It's always on or off. The thing that's not being understood here is what baptism should have done. Baptism should have done and said that I am dead. This thing is of no value.
But how can it be of no value when it says examine yourself?
Because
don't laugh at me.
Where do you examine yourself to prove that you're in the faith?
It's okay, okay, whatever it is, whatever the result is. What are you? What's the process of examination? Does that not include some kind of thought process?
Right, it does. That's why it includes total thought process. Not some, because you have to put every bit of energy of thought that you can possibly have.
Well, then don't say, don't use this.
No, wait a minute. To know that repentance is the only answer.
I don't care what the result is, you're using it.
But you should, that the whole idea is, that's when something happens where you step out of this location of sphere. You step out, you step back into the world. You step back into time and space.
You know, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm really not. The point of contention is that you say always, and you say never. And I can't do that.
Well, the reason that I say always and never is because I've seen in my own life how quickly that I return to self. And so I'm trying to make it clear that there is no time in which returning to self is spiritually justified once you're baptized. But we all return to self, hopefully less and less as the path gets narrower. But the only response to returning to self is repentance. Not repentance after the world, repentance not to be repented of.
Is there a correlation between self-awareness and examination?
Well, of course. And that's what self-awareness is, the thing that must be gone.
And I think it seems to me that you use the word thought, not necessarily. It sounds like any function of your brain, like you're just going to... You know, not use your brain at all. And that's not, I don't think that's what you're saying. Don't use your brain at all.
I don't think it is either.
So, and, you know, when it sounds so absolute, it's like, then you know, just having this conversation is ridiculous because we're taking thought. I mean, not taking thought, we're thinking. You know, what do you think about this? Well, you don't need to ask that if we're not supposed to be thinking, you know. So that's not the deal. When you say thought or thinking, don't use your brain. It's because 99% of the, well, maybe not 99%, but a huge portion of our thoughts are about ourselves. And what we're going to do, and what our family's going to do, and what this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and what am I going to say when I, you know, get to this position, and what, you know, whatever. And that's what we're talking about. Because obviously, we think, you know, and that's...
Yeah, but the... The test can't be obviously we think. The test has to be the scriptures. Take no thought.
Right.
Now, if taking thought is ever justified, then you're continuing in sin that grace may abound.
I don't see that where I've said that taking thought is being justified.
I didn't either. I didn't say you were saying that.
Yeah.
I'm saying, but that's what we do. We come to a place in our life where and it could be anything, that it causes us to feel like action or something needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And the natural man takes thought at that point and says, these are my options. But that's not what will you do? You take no thought. And if there is options, you wait and do nothing, no matter how ridiculous it seems.
I, you know,
one of the problems I have with this discourse here is that it sounds like a how-to.
No, it's
you know, if you have this, then you wait. You know, if you do this, then you do this. You know,
it reveals
that to me. You know, I don't want a how-to.
There is no how-to. That's not the point.
I'm saying what it sounds like.
Okay, but it isn't. It's the tell in the cosmic poker game that you return to self. It's all him.
Yeah, it's all him.
When I return to self, there's a tell.
And it's always a mystery.
And the tell is I'm all of a sudden I'm aware of myself. That's when repentance happens. It has to happen instantly. It should happen instantly. There's no place.
There's just not a schematic where you go from A to B,
mm-hmm.
to C,
no,
to D.
Right.
No, but there is a there's
I'm going to options, you don't necessarily go to options. You might end up there, but the first consideration might be, I don't know, ramifications. You know, I think I'm going to drive to Whole Foods. Well, maybe I better not because it's not so good out there. You know, there are ramifications before there are options, like maybe I could walk. So, you know, you can't go, you can't, this is not segmented. That's what, and this is huge for me, because this is a contention that you and I had a while ago when I said that there are different, I said paths or ways, I forget exactly what I said, and you jumped at that. And I understand why, but you don't, but don't get in my shoes, because I think I know what that means, and it's important to me, it's viable to me, and it works for me. I said this before. Two people, you and I only could do exactly the same thing in exactly the same circumstance, and for you it would be glory, for me it would be sin. Because of what is going on in my head, or what's going on in yours. Maybe that's the emptiness that you talk about all the time. I accept that. But that does not mean that, at least I can't get my head around the fact that it's A to B to C to D. What it is from A to Z, beginning to end. That our deal is to get to Z, however we get there.
This has been my life now for just about 42 years pretty soon. And I've made every mistake there is to make. And I've done every trespass that there is to trespass. And that's what I've found and know is the blood of Christ cleanses us from all trespass. But the blood of Christ doesn't cleanse us from sin. Because sin is who we are. Sin is not what we do, it's who we are.
Is that humanness, or is that just being a man?
That's everything about the human race,
mm-hmm.
after the curse.
Okay.
So the sin offering was made once and for all. When he died, all died. Now, the extent of what that death means and the revelation of it is a different rate of understanding for different people, no question. And the final example of that is it says he's even preaching to the dead, that they may judge according to the flesh but live according to the Spirit. So the whole idea, I can only talk about what I know.
So can I.
I know, but my only guide is this. If anything that I do is outside of the purview of this, then it's time for me to take pause.
Well,
and return to study, to see what, or return to repentance. If I see that it's, but there can, it sounds nigh unto impossible to take no thought.
It's almost a contradiction in terms or something. I don't know. It's a,
but it can't be escaped. It's the fundamental difference between in Christ and believing in Him.
Thinking is?
Right.
Thinking is?
Right. Because I believe in Him. And that happens for a while. I believe in Him. But then, boom, something transpires. And it's, boom, I only live by the faith of Him. That has to be manifested always. We're redeemed by, well, let's go over to Romans 5. Verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us. And remember, His love is always manifested in Jesus Christ. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him or by His agency. That's all fine. That's the in Him.
Is that that word? Is the word sinners in 8, is that trespassers or sinners?
It's sin.
Sin, okay. Right.
For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now being reconciled, we are saved by His life. It's His life in us. And your mind is not subject to the law of God. It cannot be. It's enmity toward God.
The scripture says, love God and love neighbor as yourself. And that's a huge generality, but in my life, and I have an indiscretion or two myself. Of the people in my life who care about me, aside from my own examination, if you will, suddenly it dawns on me, you're out of line, John, you're out of line, and I don't want to be out of line, I'm afraid to be out of line, so I get back in line, but the process of getting in line requires something.
Right, because you returned to this.
I've returned to this?
Because you're out of line. That's what caused you to go out of line.
It doesn't make a difference what got me there. I'm trying to get out of there.
No. I know, but the only way to get out of there is to again go back to the first issue.
Correct.
Which is repentance.
I agree.
Okay, well,
I don't do that anymore.
Okay, well, that's fine. Then that's what you do. You leave the sphere of influence of your death. And you return to the life of Christ.
Perfectly, yes.
But it's still, it's but the only reason.
But say to me, don't think.
No. I'm saying that if you're in Him, you will not think. When the thinking process takes you out of Him.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that's probably true. But being human, I have no.
Well, okay, but let's go to Romans 6. So we're right in Romans 5. Let's go to Romans 6.
Okay. Only these scriptures are wonderful and they're meaningful.
They're the only thing that I don't care what I think. Do you understand that? I care what this says.
Well, we know what this says.
No, listen. Let's hear it again. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
Of course not.
Listen, that's not even where I'm going.
Okay.
God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Now, that death has to include all of you.
I see my death my death is almost the same as my repentance.
They're the same thing.
Good, I'm on the same path there. I'm on the right road there. I see my death as my repentance. That means, and I'm not trying to put this into a little spot or push it into a hole, but I'm speaking in generalities. That means, to continue our conversation, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm done with it. I'm tired of it. Therefore, what do I do as a result of that? Well, unless I'm a total idiot, I'm gonna live differently. I'm not gonna do it the same way. The things that were important to me before aren't important anymore. The things of the earth, if you will, that doesn't matter to me anymore. It's smoke, it's mirrors, and trust me, I believe that. That means that the old John, who was into that shit, isn't there anymore. Most of the time, sometimes he falls back, and that requires repentance. But my point is, he's not there anymore. He's a new John. He's a different John. What he is he's a transformed John.
No. If he's transformed. Remember when we went through this?
I know we did, and I have a problem with it.
Okay, but transfigured. It's Christ's life.
You are a step ahead of me all the time. I can get there. But I again, you're...
Can I talk a minute?
Please.
This is why we've said it so often, but we've not looked at it from this perspective. That the grace of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are so important to the conversation. Your grace, apparently, is the grace of Abraham, because you've gone down these different roads, and I don't want to do that anymore. He's always been in your life. You maybe didn't know it even. But you've gone through, I don't want to do it anymore, 1,000 times. Maybe 10,000. That's the grace of Abraham, and it's a valid grace. The grace of Jacob is the grace of the struggle, the fight. And you got a little bit of that in you too. To finally admit that he, what's your name? Who are you? What's your name? That's what the angel is asking you. You say, my name is Jacob. For the first time, you finally agreed that you were the instead of Christ. You are the way of the snake. So that's in you too. Is that I don't want to do it anymore, and I don't want to lose John, and I don't want to admit I'm the way of the snake. And there's the revelation of Isaac, and that's instant. But the revelation of Jacob and the revelation of Abraham come back into it. So there's not all three of them. Each of us have all three of those graces. One of them is dominant. But you've got every one of those three. There's a tendency, and we've talked about it many times. The I don't want to do it one. But then there is the Isaac one, because you had a huge moment. But and I think the one you're struggling with now is Jacob. You refuse to admit you're the instead of Christ.
I'm not sure I'm struggling.
That's fine. And this is my perspective.
Okay.
But the whole instance, there's all of us are on the same path that has those three graces in it. Now, but I can only speak from the grace of Isaac. Because otherwise, in preaching the cross, I would be justifying sin if I didn't.
I don't understand that.
Okay, if I said, I'll pick on, since he's not here, but if I said, and in any way I believed, that the battle that I would have in my mind is a trial of faith, then I would be justifying it as a trial of faith. And it says in the scripture, I'm going to have a trial of faith. But that can't be justified because the baptism assumed that you were dead. So the baptism, the trial of faith, is from external things coming at you because of the doctrine. Do you understand that?
I understand it.
You may not agree with it, but...
I don't
well, anyway, my point to you is...
Think about it.
Okay, think about it. But search the scriptures about it, too. Now, I can just talk about one experience here that just came to mind. I'm supposed to talk about it. When David Koresh and his company were all, most of them burned up, one of them that wasn't burned called Gary and wanted Gary to represent him in some matter. And he was still...
Attorney Gary?
Huh?
You're
yeah.
talking about Attorney Gary in Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Okay.
He had his office here then. He had an office here. And so he was at his place, his office, with this Koresh follower. And that guy, Koresh, had really brainwashed him. He really knew the scriptures and from what, I mean, so he called me over there and wanted me to come over and talk to him. And I didn't have a Bible. And this guy kept repeating over and over and over different things that Koresh had taught that he said were in the Bible. And I would just say to him, go to this scripture, go to that scripture, go to this scripture. And he, about a space of 2 hours, his repentance was complete. Because he saw he'd been misled by the teachings of Koresh. Now, that I took no thought. I've never once tried to memorize anything in the Bible. But it was in that instance, whatever was necessary to come against some crazy cultish belief came to me. Now, I've had many experiences in the same way when I was in court, when I was being in the federal court. I was being grilled by Tilton's attorney. I said, you need to study. And I said, no, I don't. And everything came out the way, I mean, every deposition I've been into, I've never studied for it. I mean, because I know the Holy Spirit is there at the time. But when I'm like issues with money, I struggle with that because I always think, well, here I've got to do this now. And I've tried to do this now to solve the money issues. But it always comes back to take no thought. And it doesn't make any sense to my mind. It doesn't make any sense to anybody else. But that's what we're called to do. But again, each one of those graces, we violate each one all the time. But each one is in us. But one of them is dominant in each one of us. Because the end result is that it really is finished. That we are seated with him now on the mercy seat. That the messianic age is here. That we have no possibility of worry. I shall not want, and all the rest of them. We've been perfected forever. All of those incredible scriptures are true now.
Yeah.
But we must, our minds must be renewed to see the same thing that he does. And in order to see the same thing he does, we must hear the same thing. And that's what the preaching of the cross does. It's supposed to bother you. Absolutes bother everybody. But the cross, the preaching of the cross, is an absolute. And it's not that you're going to die and go to hell because of blah, 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 but it should challenge you. That's what its job is. Amen? Anybody else? All right, so don't, you're fine. You're on the path. You're on the way. I just want you to see that you've already finished it. Because he did.
For me, there's a struggle if my baptism in him or with him was a metamorphosis, a sudden, like the Trinity effect, or if it is a process because of my mind. What my mind does to me, and then is my repentance digital or is it analog? Because I keep doing it, and then finally, my death seems to be predicated. There I go, predicated, but on whether my repentance, the depth and sincerity of my repentance, because so often repentance is confused with basically, I'm sorry. Get out of this jam manipulation, and you're just conning yourself and others.
Well,
so
yep.
I mean, how's that for a
let me say this. The repentance, I mean your trip, if you will, from the world to the mercy seat in the heavens in the New Jerusalem is already finished. All that God wants you to know is that it is. And that's called the renewing of your mind. And it comes from all the struggles. It comes from people that bother you. They're an angel. It comes from ice. It comes from everything. But the end result that God wants all of us to know is you've already finished the race. It's already done. But he wants to have you to have that confidence to know that it's done, it's finished. As he is in the world, so are we. Hallelujah. The only place that keeps us from being there is this, our minds. In my experience, I don't think anybody worshiped their mind more than I did. And now I despise it. And so the whole idea, the takeaway from today, is your journey, your warfare is over. It's done. It's finished. And all God's waiting for you is to know that. That's what sanctification is. All the salt, I mean all the peppers out of the salt shaker. And so there's a great confidence in that. And a great peace, because you are exactly as you should be today, this moment. Amen? Can you hear that, John? Take a big time. Boy, it's your fault. I went 9 minutes. Whose fault is it? Let's blame it on Josanna.
Well,